Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship on this fourth Sunday in, not of, Lent. We've made it halfway through. The service order is on the purple under the title Grace Plan. Just a reminder that the musical notes can be found in the hymnal before you, Lutheran Service Book. And just one service note, if everyone would open up to page 3, please. For the Kyrie, a little bit different than usual, the words there that are printed will be sung to the tune, O God, Our Help in Ages Past, which I think most people know without looking at the notes, but just to give you the heads up, Carl will lead us through right when we get there. Let's begin with the opening hymn, number 697. Please stand.
Awake, O sleeper, rise from death, and Christ shall give you light. So learn his love, its length and breadth, its fullness, depth, and height. To us on earth he came to bring from sin and fear release, to give the Spirit's unity, the very bond of peace. Then walk in love as Christ has loved, who died that he might save. Forgive as God in Christ forgave. For us Christ lived, for us he died, and conquered in the strife. Awake, arise, go forth in faith, and Christ shall give you life.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Let us now make confession of our sins to God, our gracious Heavenly Father. Eternal God, we confess that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. By nature, we are sinful from the very beginning of our life. Through our thoughts, words, and deeds, we continually sin against you. We have lived for ourselves in many ways, breaking your commands that direct us not to lie, steal, or transgress your holy will. We have walked in the darkness of bad choices and have left unfulfilled opportunities to do good and be blessings to others. O God, in your mercy, forgive our sin and free us from selfishness and indifference, that we may joyfully follow your will and gladly obey your commandments. Graciously forgive our sins and direct us in ways of compassion and love. God promises to hear those who turn to him with repentant hearts. So, upon this your confession, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Be at peace. Amen. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net.
Have mercy on your people, Lord. Have mercy, Christ our King. Renew us by your mercy, Lord. Accept the prayers we bring.
Lord Jesus, whose grace attends us all our days, look upon us in mercy and renew us by your Holy Spirit. Direct our steps into pathways of peace and keep safe our going out and our coming in. Preserve us in your righteousness, and at last bring us to your eternal kingdom, where you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament lesson this morning is from Isaiah 42, verses 14 to 21. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame, who trust in carved idols, who say to the metal images, "You are our gods." Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant? Are deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as a servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify his law and make it glorious. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice, I plead for mercy to the Lord.
I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him.
When my spirit faints within me, you know my way.
In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me.
Look to the right and see. There is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul.
I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living.
Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low.
Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me.
Bring me out of prison, that I may give thanks to your name.
The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen. Excuse me. The epistle lesson is from Ephesians 5, verses 8 to 14. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of these things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God. With you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. With you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter.
Glory be to you, Lord.
As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight, until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man Jesus is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become one of his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and you would teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to thee, O Christ.
Ten thousand.
to sing God's praise than when we've just first begun. I invite the children who are present to come forward for some good news. Good morning. It's great to see you all this morning on this kind of dark day. Would you rather walk in the light or the dark?
Light.
Light, yeah, it's easier to see. But if you walk in the dark, sometimes it's good to have something along with you to help you see. Can you guess what I brought to remind us of that today? Aha, a flashlight, okay? It's a special flashlight. Let's see if it's working. It's a bright one, isn't it? I'm trying not to shine it in your eyes. That would be pretty good, right? In God's word, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." We heard in the scripture lessons today from God's holy word, the Bible, that Jesus is the light of the world, right? And so that's why this is a special flashlight. I have a cross on it. What would happen if the battery went out in this flashlight? It's what?
It's dead.
It's dead, right? Yeah. And although we might be able to see, it'd be pretty hard, especially if we're out in the wilderness and it's really, really dark and it's a cloudy night and there are no stars. So I put the cross on this flashlight to remind us that even if the light goes out, we don't have to be afraid. The Bible says Jesus is the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. And that's good news. He's with us always, even when we're afraid, even when we don't do things that he wants us to do. He's not going to leave us ever. He sent his son to die on the cross. That's why the cross is here. And he rose from the dead on the third day, and now he lives where?
Heaven.
He's at heaven trying, you know, telling God, you know, these are my children. They're coming to see you. And where else is he? Huh?
Church.
Church. Where else? In your heart, right? I'm going to give you a sticker, and I want you to take it home and find your flashlight and put it on there to remind you that Jesus is with you ever. Smile, God loves you. Fully rely on God. Smile, Jesus loves you. Oops, here's another smile. Jesus loves you. God is love. God is love. Thanks for coming up. Have a great day. You're always walking in the light with Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the light of the world, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for the sermon this morning is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. The epistle reading for today begins like this. "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are the light in the world." How many of you admit that at one time you were darkness? Not to argue with you, but I don't think that's true, if this is true of you. You know from Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4a, Jesus says, "While you were still, before I formed you in the womb, I was with you." Psalm 139 says, "I was with you, I have been with you forever." We often associate darkness with something we do, right? Or something we are, right? But this text reminds us that darkness is ultimately life apart from God. That's why he says to the people at Ephesus, "For at one time you were darkness." Not you did dark things or that you thought dark things, but that you were, how'd you like that? Wow, that's not very, hey, darkness, get over here. And what was he talking about? Don't forget, he says, but now you are light in the Lord. The largest building in Ephesus at the time this was written, we believe, was the temple of Diana, of Artemis. And it was a temple set apart to people who worshiped not God, there you have it, they were dark, not God, but nature. And not just nature, because of course we worship the God of creation, don't we? But they worshiped nature. Hunting was one of their chief activities. And fertility was something that they also worshiped. They'd do anything to make sure they had children who could hunt. The other most significant building in Ephesus, we believe, was the synagogue. And things weren't right in the temple of Artemis, according to God, but they weren't right in the synagogue either, because the Jews wouldn't let the non-Lutherans in. So God sent Paul to Ephesus, and he said, I want all children to have the light, which is a person, not what we do or what we don't do. But because they didn't have the light, they weren't walking as children of light. And that's where the text continues. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. I always remember this illustration that was given to me. Is an apple tree that doesn't have apples on it still an apple tree? But why doesn't it have apples on it sometimes? Maybe because the tree is dead, but maybe because it's not time for it to have apples on it. But it is an apple tree. Are we children of light because we do works of light? Not ultimately. We're children of God because we have the light of the world in our hearts. And sometimes we get that mixed up. Paul speaks to the people who don't have the light by saying, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. That's where we get mixed up, don't we? But instead, expose them. And who of us likes to do that? We find somebody doing a deed of darkness and we go, aha, you're dead. No, it's not for that purpose. You know John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. I wish we knew John 3:17 as well. It says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn or judge the world, but to save it. Did you get what he said in John 9, though? He said, for judgment I have come into this world. Maybe Jesus and God forgot to communicate. No. Because when God comes for judgment, he doesn't come to condemn. He comes to set all things right through Jesus, who is the light. That's why sometimes we shy away from judgment. It's a good thing because we have a loving God who wants all to come to repentance and to spend eternity with him. I'm going to get to that exposure part in a minute. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. And when we look at that, we say, aha, get those Ephesians who were worshiping at the temple of Diana of Artemis. Get those Ephesians who were involved in sexual immorality. A problem here in Ephesus, remember fertility is what they worshiped. A problem in Corinth where Paul was sent by God. But ultimately, the key word there is that they do in secret. In chapter 4, Paul talks about some of these things we do in secret. By the way, does anybody here have a secret they've told no one because they're afraid that when they tell them, they're going to look at them differently? Here's what Paul refers to, not just worshiping at the temple of Diana of Artemis or sexual immorality. Ephesians 4, verse 31. Bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander together with all malice. Ooh, got me. Aha! You're dead, Bedard. Except for when we remember that darkness, again, is not what I've done or haven't done, but it's kind of like spiritual Alzheimer's. Forgetting who we are. Forgiven in Christ, children of light. Forgetting whose we are. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, here's the gospel, here's the good news. Are you ready for it? Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Everybody looks awake, so I don't need to use this passage, right? But it's talking about the spiritual sleep that we are in because of our sin and because of the devil who tries to make us believe that we aren't cherished by God only because of the sacrifice of Jesus, his son, and the world helps too. Christ will shine on us. Though we have a spiritual black eye, Jesus is our shiner. How's that for a mixed or redeemed metaphor? I need to say that again. Though we have a spiritual black eye because of our sin, death, and the devil, Jesus is our shiner. Ha! Ah! Everybody react to that one. Awake! That's a good one. And just in case that isn't good enough for you, I present to you a roll of film to illustrate the point of this passage. Let's pretend that this is your life. All the deeds of darkness that you have done are on it. And all the deeds of life that you... No, you haven't done one good deed of life. It's God in you and through you. But they're on there, and you come to heaven's gate. As they say, St. Peter will be there. We don't know if that's true from the Bible. And you say, here it is. Do you think he'll let you in? St. Peter, working with that metaphor, takes the roll of film and he exposes it. And we breathe a sigh of relief and we say, oh, good. All that's on the film now is light. All those deeds of darkness are not there anymore. I get in. But then we think, oh, wait, all those good things that I did are also exposed. There's only light on the film. That's a good thing. I call that decent exposure. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. So kids, rise and shine. You know that one, right? Raven and Mia want to sing a duet for us this morning. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine. Give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Children of the light. I know it's supposed to be Lord, but today it's both. Thank you, O light of the world. I feel it welling up in my soul, even though I've heard it so many times. I need to hear it repeatedly. I'm guessing other people in this room, that we are your children of light, as dark as we are sometimes, as dark as we do, as dark as we think. That darkness cannot be overcome by you who is the light of the world. We praise your holy name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Spirit in me, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a spirit within me. Restrain not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit.
God of the covenant, in the glory of the cross, your Son embraced the power of death and broke its hold over your people. In this time of repentance, draw all people to yourself, that we who confess Jesus as Lord may put aside the deeds of death and accept the life of your kingdom. Discerner of hearts, you look beneath our outward appearance and see your image in each of us. Banish in us the blindness that prevents us from recognizing truth, so that we may see the world through your eyes and with the compassion of Jesus Christ, who redeems us. Especially on this day, we're praying for the following. First of all, for Rodney Wilson and his family. Rodney's mother, Helen, died suddenly yesterday around noon. Let us pray. O God of life, God over death, we thank you that you followed Helen all the days of her life with your goodness and mercy. And now that her life is over, she, a child of light, is received into your everlasting arms. Comfort Rodney and his family with that image we believe is true, and more than that, with the promises we know are true of the forgiveness of Helen's sin, the resurrection of her body, and life forever with you. Lord, in your mercy. Also this day, we're especially praying for Don Smith, who is hospitalized up north, and also for Karen Williams, who was transferred this past week from Chester up to St. Louis Hospital. Let us pray. O great physician, we come to you again, as we so often do, begging for healing for Don and Karen and for all who are sick and suffering. We know we aren't worthy of such healing except through the merits and love of our Lord and Jesus Christ, and that all our bodies are wasting away as much as we don't like to think about it. So we thank you again for the promise that your body and blood is present in us, not just when we receive your Holy Supper, but always as the light of the world fills our hearts and our lives. Lord, in your mercy. And also this day we pray for your children of light in your greater church. It's kind of dark right now in some of those realms, and so we pray that you remind us of your forgiveness and mercy and love, and most of all, of that second greatest commandment, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Lord, in your mercy. All these things, and whatever else you would have us ask, O Lord, we bring with confidence, knowing you hear us and will give us whatever is best for us and your kingdom. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Blessed are you, Heavenly Father and King eternal, the glorious conqueror and our victorious Lord. Strengthen us that we may live without fear, confidently resist temptation, and share your blessings through acts of mercy. Support us in this life, and bring us at last to the unending feast in your eternal kingdom, where you live and reign with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. 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 Shine, you people, Christ the Lord has entered. Our human story, God in him is centered. He comes to us by death and sin surrounded, with grace unbounded. See how he sends the powers of evil reeling. He brings us freedom, light, and life, and healing. All men and women who by guilt are driven, now are forgiven. Come celebrate your banners high unfurling, your songs and prayers against the darkness hurling. To all the world go out and tell the story of Jesus' glory. Tell how the Father sent his Son to save us. Tell of the Son who life and freedom gave us. Tell how the Spirit calls from every name.
It's just like the real thing, it's making me dizzy.